Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you maybe through online viewers. Thank you so much for tuning in today. You know, it's truly an honor to be here and so appreciate all of what Paul and Troy and the team is doing here at Capital Church. And again, I see it as a privilege to be able to speak this morning. You know, I wanted to start with a little bit of levity with all the crazy, turbulent times we're living in. I thought it'd be interesting to start with some of the more creative masks that people are using right now during this COVID-19 crisis. So on your screen, you'll see the first picture is one of, I'm going to explain this to the podcast listeners because it's going to be hard because they can't see these pictures, but this is a picture of a really large water bottle that pretty much was placed, cut in half, and put on someone's face as a mask. Kind of creative. I mean, it's interesting. All right, maybe. And then the next one, now this is the vegan option, the environmentally sensitive option for masks. It looks like a mom has fitted their kids with two lettuce wrap slash masks with a couple of holes where the eyes go. And pretty impressive and very much a vegan option there. So that's a creative way. Okay, then here's the other one, third one. Up here on the screen now, this looks like a Culligan water bottle that's really large, right? And the guy just pretty much cut the bottom out and put it on top of his head, and he's walking around with this really large water bottle on his head. Hey, it's totally, completely round and protecting him, so that's one very creative way to have a mask. Okay, then another one. Now, this one is really interesting. Now, if you are watching this, you can see it online. This looks a little bit of something out of Star Wars. I'm not sure if it's Darth Maul or Darth Vader they're aiming for, but it's a really large water bottle with two smaller water bottles coming off the sides as vents, I think. But it's definitely Star Wars-ish. Well done with the creativity on the masks. And then this one actually is my favorite. This one is really, really funny. Okay, so you remember the antivirus disc we used to put on our computers? Yeah, and so this guy pretty much has got an antivirus disc around his face with a rubber band wrapped around it. Like, that's going to stop the virus because it's antivirus, of course. You get the pun. Well done, people. Well done. Now, let me just say this for the record. I very much support wearing masks. I wear my mask. I was just wearing it just a few minutes ago. It's important that we're wearing masks. The reason I start with that is just because in the midst of all this tension and fear and turbulence, it's really important to have fun and have a little bit of levity and way to go for this creativity of people of how they're utilizing various types of masks in this crazy time. Now, here's one good news. If you're trying to figure out maybe you want to get a little bit more creative with the masks that you're wearing, you can actually get masks now that have Bible verses on them. So yes, you can go get these. And if you want to come up with a couple of good Bible verses, what we're looking at today could be some great options for Bible verses that you can put on your mask. So I'll leave that to you. So as Paul said, we are continuing our series of the book of John. And today we're going to look at John 15, 1 through 8. John 15, 1 through 8. And I'm going to read that. You can follow along on screen with me. I'm going to read from the NIV version. Here we go. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so they'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, though, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay, as has been mentioned before, we are in the last part of Jesus's what's called as the farewell discourse. This includes some of the most revealing and personal teachings of Jesus. In these verses, Jesus seems to be giving us a bit of gardening advice here in the first part of chapter 15. Now, up here on the screen, I don't know if you got to see this or not, but if you're been watching or listening on podcasts, I've got two roses here. And this one's pretty sad. In fact, this one's kind of bent over already. And this one's a little bit better. And we're going to kind of come back to these in a bit, but I just want to kind of give you a view of, I don't think Jesus used roses per se in his illustration, but here's why I bring that up. I'm going to come back to why that's important because I wanted to have something to show you that you and I use all the time, which is roses, right? But back then, there's no doubt about it. Jesus is really good about picking metaphors and images and examples that were everyday relevant examples where his listeners knew exactly where he was coming from. And the fact that he talks about the vine clearly with the Jewish leaders, as well as anybody of Jewish faith that was listening to Jesus at that time. They knew exactly the reference to the vine, because all throughout the Hebrew Bible, God had referred to the people of Israel as the vine, God's vine, if you will. And so as Jesus picks up the same metaphor of the vine, he turns a little bit. He says a few different things about the vine. In fact, instead of the people of Israel, who normally complete with all the covenants and commandments, they're typically the vine in most stories. Jesus turns it around a bit and he says that he is the vine. Jesus now is putting himself in the place of what typically was reserved for the people of Israel. He was saying that he is the vine. Now, this is interesting. He's starting to state that to be a part of God's people, that Jesus says it runs through him. He has to be a part of this concept of Israel and God's people and God's chosen. Now, we already, if you've been with us for a while, you remember last chapter in chapter 14, Jesus had these other really bold words where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now Jesus says, I am the vine. So he continues to ratchet it up, if you will, of who he is stating he really is, his true identity. Now again, theologians would say this, that Jesus wasn't necessarily replacing Israel or the part that God's people have in history. Rather, Jesus is fulfilling all that God designed and desired for his people. Jesus is the great fulfiller, if you will. And so Jesus is stating that those who claim to be God's people cannot truly remain as God's people unless they're connected to Jesus as the vine. Jesus, in other words, he's saying that he is God's true planting, fulfilling the role of Israel. Now, this would have raised a lot of eyebrows. People have been kind of scratching their head, particularly the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, be like, what are you saying? Like, who are you? Where do you get sharing that you are the vine? So they would have been very perplexed by all that Jesus is saying here. But it's not just the fact that he said he's the vine. It's how he says the words. Now, this is something that is one of the most controversial and bold comments and statements that Jesus makes about himself. And again, if you've been tracking with us throughout the book of John, Jesus makes these statements over and over again. Now, often we miss it in English, in the English translation. But if you were to read through this in Greek, in verse 5, when Jesus says, I am the vine, the Greek word for I am literally says, ego eimi, which means I am. Now, many of you recognize that title. Many of it, people call it the divine title, I am. It actually harkens us all the way back to the book of Exodus, where Moses had this encounter with a burning bush, and it turns out to be an encounter with the living God. And if you remember that real quickly, what happens is Moses has this encounter, and he begins to have this conversation with God, and he's very confused, and he finally says, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What should I tell them? And here's God's response. God says, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So I am, for centuries, has been the title reserved for God. And yet throughout the book of John, as it's recorded of Jesus' words, Jesus over and over again says and says over again, I am. Now this is controversial, and this is partly why the Pharisees were so mad at Jesus. Because they picked up on exactly what he was saying. He was saying much more than just, I am the vine, which that was a big deal, but he was saying, I am. He was putting himself in that position as God's unique son, speaking on behalf of God. Now, why is this so important for you and for me? I would say it shortly, that our view of God shapes our very lives. How we view God shapes how we live our lives and how we live out our faith. So how we view God is incredibly important. Why? Because God's work through you begins with God's work in you. In other words, God wants to work through each one of us, I believe. And he starts by doing a work in us. And what better way to start than understanding what we think about God, what we've learned about God, what we begin to believe about God. What we believe about God, again, what we think about God shapes our very lives, because God's work through you begins with God's work in you. And it starts with our minds. I always find it's kind of fun to get in the mind of a child as they're trying to understand who God is and all these Bible stories, right? In fact, let me just share a couple of things that are kind of funny, I think. A Sunday school teacher once asked her class, what was Jesus' mother's name? One child answered, Mary. Great, check. And then the teacher asked, who knows Jesus' father's name? And a little kid said, well, his name's Virg. And confused, the teacher asked, well, where did you get that? And the kid said, well, you're always talking about Virg and Mary. And so, I mean, it makes sense. Virg, of course. Virgin Mary, of course. There you go. Now, number two, a four-year-old once prayed the Lord's Prayer. And here's how the four-year-old said the prayer. Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. I like that one, actually. That one's awesome. So that's really practical. You know, trash, who wants to put trash in baskets, right? Okay, last one. A little boy was overheard saying one time while he was praying, Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I am having a real good time just as I am. So I love this. You know, there's this sense when we're trying to figure out who is God? How does he relate to us? Our view of God shapes literally how we live our life. Our view of God shapes how we live out our faith. Those who were listening to Jesus that day, oh my goodness, they were blown away a bit by what Jesus was saying. This is not normally what they were expecting to hear from someone who would be, say, on the level of a Jewish rabbi. He's making these bold statements about who he is, that he's, I am, using that statement, and then I am the vine, fulfilling the role of Israel. Clearly, Jesus is saying something that's really beginning to stir things up with his listeners, but he was preparing them, because if by him saying that he is the true vine, then it goes without saying that as he continues, if he's the vine, then he says clearly, we are the branches, and we need to remain in him. In fact, let's look at verse 4 again up here on the screen. Jesus then says in verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, this is really incredible because you think, okay, in verse 4, we have the word remain four times. And you probably know, anytime in scripture where a word is repeated over and over and over again, you know there it's there for a reason. Jesus is trying to get across something very important. Remaining in him is absolutely critical to our spiritual well-being. Now, let's look at this a little bit, unpack it a bit. So the Greek word for remain is menata, menata. And it could mean to remain, to stay, abide. It even could mean to last or to endure. And typically it's translated to remain or stay. So here's the thing. Jesus is saying, in order for God to do his work in us, we are called to remain in him. Remain in him. Of course, then the question is, what does it mean to remain in Christ? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Now, first, we have this idea that this is the idea of staying in one place. There's a permanency to this phrase abide or this word remain. It's like pitching your tent, so to speak, right? Or the idea of remaining is akin to making your home in a particular place or putting your roots down, as the saying goes. In other words, this is not a short-term vacation. This is not a short-term rental agreement. This is, I'm committed. I'm signing on the dotted line. This is my mortgage. I'm putting money into this. I'm investing. I'm making my home with God. Remaining in Christ is to center one's life around Christ and the reality of God's presence. That's what it means to remain. To remain in Christ is to center one's life around Christ and the reality of God's presence. Okay, I mentioned that I had these roses here that they're looking pretty sad. If you can look, zoom in on these a little bit. Now, my youngest daughter, Evie, her birthday was this week. And so they were given to her. And see, this is even broken. This one's just really having, this one's struggling. And this one's not too bad. It's looking pretty good. And you know, as I hold these up, the reason I thought I'd have this is number one, they, of course, were connected to a vine at one time. And they both were clipped off of the vine. And even though this one's looking pretty good right now, eventually it's going to look like the other one. It's going to start wilting. It's already starting to look a little dry. Why? Because it's cut off from the vine. We all know that. Now, here's what's interesting. I wanted to ask you a question. As you are watching today, and I don't know what's going on in your life, but I have a feeling, because we've all gone through this crazy COVID-19 crisis the last 4 months, that you may be feeling a little dry. You may be feeling kind of beat up. You may be feeling a little bent over. You know, your life is just not thriving like it normally is. And if you were to describe your life in the form of a rose, maybe it's you realize today that maybe you have disconnected yourself from God. Maybe not intentionally, but because of all the craziness and all the anxiety and all the fear and all the worry, you've just hunkered down and in a sense pulled away from the very source of your life. And I hear what doesn't help is we're kind of forced to keep distance from everybody, right? One of the horrible things about COVID-19 is the isolation that we've all gone through. And we're not built, we're not meant to be isolated from each other, right? God created us to be in community. So this so goes against the way God's created us. And so we have to get really good and really intentional and really creative to still stay connected in safe ways now. But my guess is, as I look at my own life, and my guess is for you too, you're at a place where this could be a very spiritually dry season. I know for me, you know, many of you know, as Paul said, I'm the executive director of the Christian Center of Park City. And because we're a humanitarian community center, we never shut down. Like we have not shut down once because a lot of our services were really needed. In fact, needed even more during this COVID-19 crisis, from our food pantry to our rent assistance program to our mental health counseling, which we'll talk about in a bit. We've never shut down. And I'll be honest, the first 3 months of that was just like so urgent. It was like this, you were on this adrenaline rush because there was so much going on. We had to get services and programs to people and we had to do it in a safe way. And I had to keep the staff safe and all these things. And I remember being so stressed during those first 3 months. And I finally feel like in the month of July, right about the 4th of July, everything, at least for me, I could take a little bit of a breather. And I began to realize how much I had been drying up inside. And how tired I had gotten physically and emotionally and spiritually. And maybe that's you too. And maybe in fact, that's where you are right now. Jesus reminds us in this passage of the importance of remaining in the vine. He knows how we're made. He knows that over time, if we separate ourselves from God, first of all, and even separate ourselves from each other, eventually we're going to begin to spiritually wither because we're separated from the vine. And that's why it's so critical for you and for me to stay connected vitally to the vine so that we can thrive and become all that God has created us to become, even in the midst of pandemics and crises. So as we look at this passage, you know, it's really interesting that, first of all, God wants us to stay remaining in him. Now, what is really interesting to me is as Jesus began to say, remain in me, it comes at a cost. And why I say that is if you noticed, when we read through that passage, that Jesus says, those who do remain in me, as important as that is, if you remain in Christ, you will experience pruning. Now that's kind of the bad news right now in a sense, right? Because when you're in a vine, and you're being pruned by the gardener, that's a good thing, but it doesn't feel very good at the time. In fact, I find that sometimes when you feel like maybe God's pruning your life, it feels a lot like you're getting cut off. Now, it's interesting, you know, when I really experienced this, when I went through seminary, my wife and I had a chance to live at a home near the seminary, and we took care of a home because the family there that lived there was only there for 3 to 4 months out of the year. And so I was there to take care of the house and take care of all the landscaping and take care of the dogs, etc. And one of the things, the prized possession, if you will, of this lady's home and landscaping and grounds was her wonderful, beautiful rose garden. And I'm telling you what, she spared no expense for this rose garden. There's more roses than I've ever seen outside of a Denver Botanical Gardens. I mean, this is a beautiful set of roses. Now, here's the thing. The pressure was on me because I had to take care of these roses, and I had to learn really quick how to tend to roses, and she was my instructor, and I had never done, like, Roses 101 in college. I had no idea how to do this, really, but I learned very quickly. And I found, among other things, one of the most important pieces of having rose bushes really develop and grow and have these beautiful blooms, you know, time and time again through the entire season, is it's all about pruning. I learned that you had to prune in just the right place at just the right time. Pruning was absolutely critical. If that rose bush was going to become this beautiful rose bush with lots of blooms for the entire season, pruning was an essential element in it. And so as I would read through these passages, that's what came to mind. was that God knows what it takes for us to grow. And God desires all of us, all of you watching today, God wants you to bloom and grow and become all that he's created you to become. And pruning is part of the process. Now, pruning doesn't feel good, but it's absolutely critical. And so perhaps why I'm spending so much time on this, because number one, Jesus mentions it here, but maybe you're feeling like with this COVID-19 crisis and all that you're going through because of that, maybe you feel like you're being pruned and you're like, God, okay, I've had enough. I don't need any more pruning. I look just fine. I get it. I get it. I've been there. Pruning is a natural part of remaining the vine. And so my hope is you take away from this, the fact that you're being pruned is a good sign that you're still remaining in the vine. And that's a good thing, because over time you will become all that God has desired you to become, all that God has created you to become. It's part of remaining in the vine. Now there's one other aspect I want to bring up about remaining in the vine. One more aspect here. And it's this. We get a clue of this. We kind of sneak ahead a little bit into a bit of next week's message. But John 15, 9 through 10, Jesus gives us a glimpse of what does it mean to remain in the vine. Take a look at this. It's up here on the screen. Jesus says these words, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's command and remain in his love." Okay, so he says really clearly, if we are to remain in God's love and Jesus' love, it's through keeping his commands. So that's how we begin. That's another aspect of remaining in God's vine and remaining in God's love, is by obeying his commands. Well, what are his commands? Well, we don't get them all here, but Jesus clearly says what his primary command is. It's a little bit later, verse 12 and verse 13. Jesus says this, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And he goes on, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." And if we didn't get it there, verse 17, he reminds them again, "This is my command again." Here's my command, love each other. So what does it mean to remain in God's love, to remain in the vine? To love each other, to obey God's command by loving each other. Now, if we're going to do that, and that's part of God's commands, we better really know and understand what it means to love each other. What does Jesus mean by love? Right? Because we need to unpack that word. What does that really mean? In fact, I remember a pastor friend of mine has once pointed out how confusing the English language can be. And it's true, it can be. Let me just give you a couple examples. Have you ever thought about this? Confusing language English is. The word quicksand. It's not quick at all. Have you thought about that? Quicksand is not quick. It's actually really slow. And I wonder this. Why does overlook and oversee mean the same thing? But wise guy and wise man does not. Or why does ravel and unravel basically mean the same thing? Or valuable and invaluable, same thing. Genius and ingenious, same thing. Why is it that if you have a slim chance or a fat chance, it really means you really don't have much of a chance at all? And last question, if vegetarians eat vegetables, what do humanitarians eat? Okay, so the English language can be so misleading, it can be so confusing sometimes, right? So what does love mean here? What is Jesus getting at? If this is a command, we need to understand what is Jesus saying. Well, many of you know that this word, Jesus had lots of words for love to choose from in the Greek language, right? Even Aramaic. I mean, Jesus had multiple choices, and he chooses the word agape. Many of you are familiar, of course, with the word agape. But in short, agape, in this context, Jesus is saying, we are called to agape love, just as God has agape loved us. Agape, in short, is love that's focused on meeting the needs of another person. It's not a self-centered love. It's not a me-first love. It's about giving more than receiving. It's a God-honoring love. It's a God-focused love. It's truly a God-like love. That's the love that Jesus is talking about. So, in context, I'd recommend to think about this, because that's not the typical word we think of when we think of love. We typically think of romantic love, or maybe brotherly love, or sisterly love. But in this context, this is a different type of love, right? So to remain in God's love is to reorient our understanding of love so that our expression of love to others mirrors God's love for us. Let me say that again. To remain in God's love, then, is to reorient our understanding of love so that our expression of love to others mirrors God's love for us. That, to me, gets at this idea of remaining in God's love. Because God's work through you begins with God's work in you. That's where it starts. You know, when I think about all that I get to do at the Christian Center, I'm so proud of our staff. Our staff gets really daily opportunities to practically show love to people by meeting practical needs, whether it be through our food pantry or mental health counseling and different things. Now, many of you may know at the Christian Center of Park City, and we have a campus in Heber, that we also have a area where you can drop off your clothes, your household goods, your furniture, et cetera, just like the DI here in Salt Lake or Goodwill across the country. We are basically that for some in Wasatch County. So, true story, a couple of years ago, we had someone, a gentleman, come to our area where he was going to drop off his wife's clothes. Now, our manager at the time, you know, we have so many people that donate throughout the day. I mean, it's literally a line. If you ever come to our campus during Monday through Saturday, there is a line of people once we open to for people dropping off their stuff. So we get so much wonderful stuff. So this guy comes in, and you could tell something was different. Our receiving manager notices, this is not your typical drop-off. So he begins to get out of his car, first of all, and explain. This is before COVID, so there was no mask involved. But he comes down and starts explaining what was going on, and he had all these wonderful dresses and clothes of his wife's on hangers still, in the back of his truck. And he was handing them one by one, you know, to our receiving manager. And typically, when people drop things off, I mean, it's like we get as much as we can. Our team is just really fast. You have to be super efficient, because if you're not efficient and you're not putting things in barrels really quickly and organizing them, there's going to be a really long line of angry customers behind this one person. So our receiving manager could tell two things. Number one, this is taking too long. But two, there was something else going on here. So he just kind of leaned into the situation and asked the gentleman, I see there's something else that you need from us. Unfortunately, if I take all the time I really would like to with you, I would get in trouble and I'm going to have this really long line of angry customers. However, I recommend you go to our boutique, and these clothes are so nice. That's where they're going to go. They're going to eventually end up in our boutique and we'll be able to sell them because they're so beautiful. So if you go to our boutique, there's a chance our staff would be able to spend a little bit more time with you. Because he just knew something was going on with this guy in his heart and in his mind that was not just a normal day for this gentleman. So at that time, and the history of the Christian Center, our boutique was off-site, just right around the corner from our current site. So the guy takes him up on the offer and goes, drives directly to our boutique. He interacts with our boutique manager, Marisol, and Marisol has the same kind of a sense that there's something going on with him. There's something deeply going on in his heart and soul that is not a normal day for this gentleman. And so she begins to ask a few questions. He begins to tell the story that, you know, my wife's things are in the back of the car and I'd really like to donate these. And so she starts helping. Luckily, they weren't super busy. And so she starts getting all these clothes out of the back and grabbing them hanger by hanger. And then another, one of our boutique staff members, Mare, comes and helps. And as he begins to get these clothes to our boutique staff, he finally opens up a little bit about what's going on. These are his wife's clothes. And his wife has passed away. And his wife had committed suicide. And this is the first time he was able to publicly come out and do anything in regards to his wife, let alone to hand these clothes off to someone else. And as they began to have this encounter, there was something going on in his life. They knew it, and they sensed it, and sure enough, it began to come out. And then we got all the clothes out, and he was in tears at that point. And then later that week, Mayor reached out to him again, just checked in, how are you doing? And he was overwhelmed by the love that our team showed him that day, because he said, it was the first time I really began the process of healing around my wife's suicide by that encounter of being able to give in honor of my wife, the clothes that she had, because it was one of her favorite things. And it was this moment where they, my staff, decided to show agape love. It wasn't so much about what they were getting or what they were receiving. It was what they were giving back to this gentleman who needed love, who needed time, who needed compassion. And that's agape love. It's an other-centered love. It's more focused on giving than receiving. And so when we begin to do that in small ways or big ways, and the reason I share that story is because there's these moments sometimes where we're like, well, that's just kind of a normal thing in life. We just need to, you know, get through our job. When we're really tuned in and where we're remaining in the vine and we're connected deeply with God, I believe God will give us these moments if we're sensitive spiritually enough, and God will give us these moments and maybe send people our way that really need an extra touch of love, an extra listening ear, a little bit extra time, because he knows what's going on in their heart and he wants us to be there for them, showing this agape love. And here's what's great. When we begin to show agape love in those ways, you know what we're doing? We're bearing good fruit. When we're connected to the vine, God begins to work through us, and all of a sudden we start bearing fruit. And that's what Jesus says. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. See, God's work through you begins with God's work in you. Can I ask you a question? A little personal. But what's the condition of your fruit right now? What's the condition of the fruit of your life today? You know, if you really want to take a risk today, ask your spouse or your roommate that question. Ask your kids. Ask a really close family member. Ask them and just say, what's the fruit of my life right now? Maybe especially now during COVID-19, like what's coming out of my life? And is it good? And maybe you have to cringe a little bit with their response, but ask the question. And maybe for personal reflection, I just want to ask a couple of questions that you can ask of yourself that I think may get to at least a couple areas of your life that'll give you a snapshot of what is really coming out of your life. What is the fruit of your life currently? First question, this one question about the fruit of your life is in the form of your prayer life. And here's the question. Ask yourself, are my prayers right now more about me and my needs or the needs of others and the concerns of the kingdom of God? Let me ask again, the question would be, are my prayers more about me and my needs or the needs of others and of God's kingdom? In other words, if you were to do an audit of your prayer life right now, just examine them. Like, how much time are you focused on your work and your problems and your struggles? And how much time are you focused on other people and what God is doing in the world? And then let me clearly say, God wants us to come to him with everything. He wants us to pray about everything. So we should come to God with our needs and our struggles and our anxiety and our fears and our worries, all those things. But it shouldn't just stop there. In addition to coming to God with our own needs, we ought to come to God with the needs of others around us. And to another level of really begin to pray about what God is doing in the world and what God wants to do possibly through you in this world. Right now, especially now. How is your prayer life right now during COVID-19? That maybe give you a little glimpse of what's going on and the fruit that's coming out of your life. Here's the second question. Am I becoming more compassionate and approachable or less? Here, I'll ask it again. Am I becoming more compassionate and approachable or less? You know, if God's work through you, it begins with God's work in you, then one of the big things in us is the compassion we have, and if we're approachable by other people. Now, here's what I think is fascinating. During Jesus' day, the Pharisees, they were actually known for being unapproachable. No one would approach the Pharisees, right? Because they were so religious and so holy. You couldn't mess with them. You couldn't distract them. You couldn't approach them. They were too holy. And that's why Jesus, among other things, he told that wonderful parable, I remember, of the Good Samaritan. Now, the Good Samaritan, in their minds, that was the archenemy of the Israelites at the time. And so a non-spiritual Samaritan was the hero of the story that Jesus told. Why? Because he showed compassion and love. The fruit of his life was agape love. And that's what it means to know Jesus. So no matter how spiritual you are, actually, you know that you're becoming more like Christ. You're becoming more spiritual if you're becoming more compassionate. And if you're actually more approachable. And the Pharisees were just the opposite. And Jesus was trying to say, it's not just about having all this great religious knowledge. It's about what the fruit of your life is at the end of the day and how you relate to others. That's what it means to remain in the vine, to remain in Christ. Because God's work through you begins with God's work in you. You know, over these last 4 months, it's been amazing to see the response of many people in our community. I mean, I look at the whole state, but I think just, you know, specifically Capital Church right here. This church, all of you that are watching, I've been so amazed with seeing what's going on with Capital Cares, for example, you know, from getting food for those who are hungry, for helping provide school supplies for those who can't go to school right now, for helping with just supporting our frontline workers in the medical fields that are in the hospitals and really dealing with really difficult things in the ER, for example. And Capital Cares has really done a great job the last few months. And so I want to thank all of you because I've watched those videos and I keep updated on those things. And of course, at the Christian Center, as I mentioned before, we've been open this entire time. And again, I'm so proud of our community and our staff who've been able to stay open. Let me just give you a couple of quick stats because some people have often asked, like, what are you doing over there in the Christian Center and how is it going right now during COVID-19? Let me give you a little snapshot of the things we did during this time. As I mentioned, we never shut down, but because we're a humanitarian community center, these programs needed to continue. So we're able to find a safe way to continue providing these services. So in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis, we were serving 1,000 people a week during our food pantry, through our food pantries. We were serving 1,000 people a week through our food pantries, both in Heber and Park City. The other thing that's really been growing and really been actually very intense is our mental health counseling center. The rates of suicide ideation, meaning people thinking about suicide for the first time, the rates of anxiety and trauma and depression have just gone off the charts during COVID-19. In fact, if you're listening to this and you're feeling those things right now, I strongly recommend to reach out to our counseling center or another counseling center. Capital has some great resources for you, but we have seen a huge uptick. We have had 85% increase in the last 3 months of people needing our counseling service and not being able to afford it. Because most of the people in Summit County, anyway, in Park City, most of them are tied in somehow to the tourist industry or the ski industry, and they lost their jobs immediately. And so they can't afford counseling anymore. So we have this counseling scholarship fund, and we've seen an 85% increase in need for people that need counseling but can't afford it. And the other big one that many of you have heard about, but it just astounds me, actually, is I think back over the last 3 to 4 months, we have had what we call the basic needs assistance, which we've had for a long time. And that's pretty much a program if people need rent assistance and they can't afford it, or they have a medical bill they weren't expecting, or a car repair that they can't afford, we want to step in and in a quick way to just make sure they don't get evicted and become homeless. They have their car so they can get to their work, and whatever medical bill they have, we can help assist with that. Well, this basic needs assistance during COVID-19 exploded in need. So we have had almost 700 families request rent assistance. Now, rent assistance is the number one thing. Now, we've had people that have asked for all kinds of different assistance, but that's the over 90% of the people requesting, they want rent assistance, and we want to help. Because the last thing we want is this mass eviction, where now we've got a major issue of homelessness all across this country. And so I say all that to say thank you to those who are listening. As I think about the community here in Salt Lake, Summit County, Wasatch County, we have raised an amazing amount of money. So just give you some numbers here. So we've given out in the last almost 4 months, we've distributed over $600,000 worth for rent assistance. And we're now in the process of a third round of rent assistance. In other words, we've done 2 rounds to help with 2 months of rent, if you will. We're doing a third round. So when we're all done with this third round, we'll be close to distributing $1 million worth of rent assistance. That's the level of need that we're experiencing. And that's just someone in Wasatch County. I don't know about Salt Lake County, but it's probably even higher. I say thank you, thank you, thank you. We wouldn't have the money. We didn't have that many resources to give to this kind of program if it wasn't for the community coming alongside us. And I know the Capital Church specifically has helped financially support us with our food pantry efforts and our rent assistance efforts. And then lots of you individuals that are watching today, I just want to say thank you. Because again, we wouldn't have the resources to do this if it wasn't for your amazing support. In fact, I thought it would just be fun. If you've not seen this video, we put together a quick video that highlights some of the recipients of our basic needs assistance, and they just wanted to say thank you for all that you have done. Take a look at this.
The Christian Center has helped us in multiple ways, from receiving food from the food pantry to assisting us with additional items like clothing and shoes, and then recently with some help with rent assistance during the COVID crisis. That's really essential in a community to have people that you trust and can communicate your problems to.
Our basic needs program is intended to assist people in need, whether it be helping them with paying bills, with food assistance, clothing, and linking them to other resources. We're kind of like the hub of the community in terms of the services that we offer.
I have a deep respect for the Christian Center. I see the heavy impact that they make on our social fabric here in Park City.
That's where Christian Center really comes into play, is just helping families with the basic necessities of life.
I know that there is a lot of anxiety outside and we don't know what's going to happen. That's why we have to be so grateful with all the help and all the support that you're giving to the community right now.
I think the Christian Center is really essential and beneficial to our community because it allows us to have resources that we wouldn't have otherwise.
Our mission and our vision is to meet people at their point of need and to walk beside them. That's what community is all about.
You know, every time I watch that, it just, it moves me because I know we couldn't have done all those things in the last 4 months without the amazing support of this community that financially supported us, the volunteers that support us, and for years have kept the Christian Center open and going and moving forward. So again, thank you for that. And the other thing, as I watch that, as I think about my own spiritual life, what I'm continue to be amazed about is that God loves to use everyday, ordinary people to do extraordinary things. In other words, what I've learned is that God isn't necessarily looking for the super spiritual or the superstars out there. What God is looking for are people that are open to remaining in Him, remaining in the vine, and allowing God to work through them to do extraordinary things. So maybe you're sitting there watching this, and you're like, what can I do? I feel like I've just barely survived this COVID-19 so far. God wants to use every single one of you. I don't know in what ways, because we all have different gifts and different personalities, but God wants to use you. And I know that God's work through you begins with God's work in you. And so as I think about this, I think about that famous Italian painter, Caravaggio. If you remember from your art history, Caravaggio, he made paintings back in the day that the church at the time really didn't like. In fact, they really were disappointed in his work. Why? Because he would get ordinary citizens off the street as his models. And as he would make these portraits of people, he wouldn't put halos on their head. He wouldn't make them look otherworldly and perfect. No, he showed their flaws. He showed everything about them that was normal. It's what they looked like in real life with all the imperfections. And as I think about that, I remember the words of my professor and author, Dr. Will Willimon, who pointed out, that's the point with God. God loves to use everyday, ordinary people with imperfections and flaws. And God uses them to do extraordinary things to make a difference in this world. And that's why I say God wants to use you. Now, as we started today, you know, I asked the question, how are you doing? And do these roses maybe represent you a bit and how you're feeling? A little bent over, a little dry, a little weak, struggling a bit. I've been there, you know, and this has been a hard haul for the last 4 months and we're not done. I think one of the worst parts of what we're in right now, we don't know when the end is. The goalposts keep moving, right? But how bad this pandemic is. And that's hard for us as humans to know. But I do believe this, that I think as you're watching today, I think every one of you wants to be fully present in your relationships. You want to be fully engaged in your marriage. You want to have these great moments with your kids, these moments that you look back and have great memories of. And I think you want to grow spiritually. You want to go deep in your relationship with God. I don't think the majority of you want to hydroplane over your spirituality. I believe you really want to go to the next level, that you want to be used by God to do extraordinary things, to make a difference in the world. Even during this COVID-19, you want to be used by God in whatever way that would be. Well, it starts on the inside because God's work through us begins with God's work in us. So I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey. My guess is we're all at different places. But here's my prayer and my hope, is that today, this would just maybe be a reminder. All you needed today was just a reminder to look at the condition of your soul and what do you need to do to either get reconnected with God, the vine, or maybe need to reconnect in community, reconnect in relationships. All I know is that God desires you to thrive and to become all that He's created you to become. But it starts on the inside because God's work again through you begins with His work in you. May that be so with all of us today. That's my prayer. And would you join me as we close in prayer today? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share the reminder that, first of all, God, you love us, that you have a plan for our lives, that you want to use us and work through us. May we be people, God, that believe that, and with your strength and with your ability to trust you and take those next steps, particularly now in this very scary environment we're living in, show us, God, what the next step is. Not the next 10 steps, just one more step this week. What's the next step that we need to take so that we are vitally connected to you, that we are thriving spiritually, emotionally, and physically, that we maybe need to reconnect in other ways, relationally, and most of all with you. Would you show us, God, how we in our everyday life can reconnect and remain in the vine, because we do believe, God, that you want to work through us, but you start that process by working in us. We pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, thank you so much again for tuning in. Let me give you a little bit of homework, and then I've asked the worship band to close us out with a very powerful song, I believe. So two things to read, to check out. Living in Christ's Presence is a wonderful book by Dallas Willard. Dallas has shaped my life from a distance in so many ways, and I know for lead pastor Troy, same thing. This book about living in Christ's presence is really all about abiding in the vine, remaining in the presence of God, remaining connected deeply to the vine, who is Jesus. And then another book, second book, is called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. This is a little bit of a new book, but here's what's really ironic. He takes a lot from Dallas Willard and John Ortberg. Many of you have heard of John Ortberg. And he talks about how we live in an environment, particularly pre-COVID, where our life speed is so high that often our soul suffers in the speed of our life. And so often what we need to do is slow things way down, spiritually and otherwise, so that we can begin to thrive again spiritually. So it's a wonderful book, new book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. I encourage you to check it out. Okay, two songs also as part of homework. I recommended this song a while ago. I wanna say it's like 9 months ago. I had so many good comments of people saying, thank you for telling me about that song. That's a fantastic song. It's called Run to the Father by Cody Carnes. Let this song speak to you. Read the lyrics and let the song just speak to you. I think it's a song, particularly now during COVID, that really is important. And then the second song is The Goodness of God. In fact, I thought, what a better way to give you homework, but then to give you a little taste of it by having the worship team lead us now in this song, The Goodness of God. It's a fantastic song. Read the lyrics. Let the lyrics wash over you as you contemplate how God wants to work through you, but it'll start by working in you. Thanks for listening.
Never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Been faithful. In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God.
Hi, friends. I'm grateful to you for joining us today. If you'd like to receive prayer, you could send us an email, info@capitalchurch.com or care@capitalchurch.com, or you could just tell us right in the feed if you're watching this live, because we'd love to pray for you right now, whatever you're facing. Here's our prayer for all of you. May you remain in the vine, who is King Jesus, so that you might bear the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience in a world that desperately needs it. Thanks again for joining us. Grace and peace.